Welcome to Marooned at MadBytes headquarters. Day 29, which means into week 5. How are we doing, Mike?
Fine. Oh, squeaky, squeaky chicken.
I will have to edit that in post. Ooh, she's getting very squeaky with her chicken. Yeah. Lola's got her chicken and she knows how to squeak it. So how is everybody?
I am fine. I have eaten. I have got water and I've got wine. Just don't call me Jesus.
He's fed and watered is what he means.
Don't ask about the lettuce, Jonathan.
Oh, the lettuce did not go well. Shall we have an RIP for the lettuce? Sadly, there I was last night, midnight, poised. Mike, snoozing peacefully like a baby.
You sent me to bed.
I'm not surprised. I couldn't be doing with the stress. It's not good in the evenings.
Like you're not good in the mornings.
I'm terrible in the mornings and I'm the first to admit it. I did a show where I had to go at the birds in the morning. So there I was. I'd even got some lettuce in the basket. I was so excited. I thought, right, part of the deliveries would be today, which is a bank holiday here, but never mind. And I'm going for it. No. First disaster was, I tell you, if you want to try and get the slot, I explained this to, was it Simon? I think it was Simon. You need to go to the basket and do a checkout, although you know you're not going to be able to check out, just so it checks what the basket. At which point, it tells you what you can't have. All night, I'd been sat there nursing the lettuce. Comes just 1 minute to midnight, you can't have the lettuce. Oh, the air was blue. Good job you missed that one, Mike. But I thought, never mind. I've got the florette fly salad thing, so we'll go. We'll go. No slot. However, in better news, over to Mike, super shopper number two.
Yes, I already had a slot at Asda, so I, with trepidation, edited it, the order, because I've heard of other people editing the order and everything disappears. That happened to Helen. That's where I've heard it.
Well,
she mentioned it.
Yeah, the thing was, I said to you, well, what's in the basket? And because it had been ordered over 3 weeks ago, I would say 60 to 70% of what you ordered wasn't available anyway.
Yeah.
So we looked at what was in it, a couple of packets of butter and stuff like that, and decided, you know what, if we lost the slot, we'll never mind. So you went in.
And I got everything. No, I didn't get everything I wanted. They had no water.
You got halfway, and what happened at halfway?
What did happen at halfway?
I spotted a sign right across the top of the site that said you can't edit your order other than 48 hours before delivery and seen as though it's due tomorrow. I thought, this is going to be a calamity.
No, it was all right in the end.
Yep, no, so we've no idea what's coming, but there is an order from Asda. But there's no more slots and they open their slots up a month in hand. So this is potentially our last food order ever. So we're going to have to make it last.
Anyway, talking of food, did you enjoy dinner?
I did.
Good.
It was fish, wasn't it?
It was fish.
It was the fish. How many years out of date was that?
Four.
Only four? Well, I lived to tell the tale last time and I'm not concerned.
It was fish, spring rolls and mixed veg.
It was very, very
nice.
Was
it a nice surprise when it came?
It was.
Yes, it was a nice surprise when I got it out of the freezer.
Why? What did you think it was?
I hadn't chosen what we were having for dinner. It was on the fly. It was an on-the-fly meal.
Don't mention flies. It reminds me of the salad. No, basically, you went in and just picked something and thought, that'll do.
No, I didn't just pick something. I knew what I wanted.
Oh, what were we having?
That's what we were having.
Oh, right.
When I was out with Lola, I was thinking, right, what's for dinner? And I had to dig in the freezer and take all the gluten-free stuff out to get to the fish.
What he means is he had to remove the gluten-free stuff to get to the real food. Oh, so breezy in Manchester. It was howling in the night, Jonathan. I went to bed about 3:30-ish and the wind was howling. I was actually thinking, please let the roof be okay. It was that bad. Do we have Instacart? I'm not aware of it. Do you know about Instacart?
I've just had a look. And if you actually search for Instacart UK, you get on-demand grocery delivery in England AR, which I'm guessing is Arizona. Is AR Arizona? Is there a place called England in Arizona?
I thought it was AZ Arizona, but never mind. No, we don't. I don't think we do have that. The nearest we've got to it, Kim, is Morrison's. Yes, the venerable Morrison's. What they're doing is they're putting...
Arkansas.
Am I talking to myself here?
No, Arkansas.
You just talk over me then.
Yeah.
Always remember, I have the power to mute you. Just saying. Considering you didn't plug his microphone in till 2 seconds past seven and I couldn't go live till he did.
Always remember, I have the power to remove the player off the homepage.
Ah, true. What trumps what there? I think you've had too much. I think you've made too merry with the wine. What was I actually saying then? Not Instacart. I was going on to talk about something else. When
Amazon.
He rudely interrupted me.
Morrisons.
Morrisons. They've instigated a system where you can order a box of random food. So the random food comes in two kinds. There is standard random food and a vegan, or is it vegetarian? Vegan or vegetarian random food. But that's the only options you've got. So they don't do a gluten-free random food, unfortunately. But the reason that that's easier for them to do is it's a standard box of products. It's guaranteed to be worth whatever they charge for it in terms of the individual items. But it really is potluck with the individual items. That's the nearest I think we've got to that. Tesco's are doing nothing. Sainsbury's are doing nothing. Asda are doing nothing, and none of them have got any slots. Have you tried lately, Jonathan, for Nanny Isaacs? She's going to be really annoyed if she can't get any food at all, which is pretty much where we've been. It actually seems worse over the weekend. But who knows? Did we have a good Easter? We did have a very, very good Easter and a very happy anniversary. Thank you very much. Let's have a look. What, that they just throw anything that's on the shelves? Yes, Kim, that's it. It's guaranteed to have some food in it and essentials. So it just says food and essentials. Could be a bar of soap. Could be, well, it's unlikely to be hand sanitizer. But it is literally, they just throw in whatever to a certain value and then you get that box. To me, that seems a bit dangerous because if there's something in it that you don't particularly want, then you're going to want to swap with somebody. And then I can imagine little neighbourhood swap parties happening. But that could just be me.
As long as you're 2 metres away.
Just catch this tin of beans, Maud, over the fence it goes.
I'm thinking about that for what's it around the corner. Just bungus your laptop out the window.
Oh, God, tell them about that.
I got
I
got a voicemail yesterday from a lady. I was going to say old lady. She's not that old.
She's not that old.
No, she's probably in, what, 60s, 70s?
Late 60s, I'd have thought.
Oh, she's not old then. No, this lady around the corner, and she had a problem with her laptop. And the problem is, without actually seeing it, you can't really diagnose it. It could be a battery problem. Basically, the power light.
Can I summarise it?
Yeah.
The light's on, but nobody's home.
Yeah, I was going to say the power light's on. So I'm thinking, if I walk past, because I did walk past this morning, I realised I should have gone undercover in case she spotted me.
That's Lola's morning walk. Do you mind?
It is.
And you can't swap.
So either I walk around past it with a pair of gloves and a Tesco bag.
Oh, God.
Put the offending item in there. Or I say, throw it out the window and I'll catch it.
The thing is, with something like that...
But then you wouldn't want to bring it in here, would you?
No.
That's the other thing.
Well, I'm already thinking that with the new device for the priest and the lack of audio.
Yeah.
It's all right me getting it to him, but I don't want it back. Don't post it back through the letterbox. Because that's what we'd normally do. Wouldn't you? I don't. Yeah. I'm not risky. I'm being so risk averse. It's scary. So this, I think it needs power cycling. But that wouldn't necessitate telling this lady how to get the battery out. And to be honest, I can't remember. It's a Toshiba laptop. I've not a clue.
I've just gone back through the chat.
Where you at?
And Kim's asking if the Daily Mail's a good newspaper. And I was about to say the same as what Anthony said.
Useful. The Daily Mail has a terrible, terrible, terrible reputation. It's clickbait and then some. It has a worse reputation than its nearest rival, which is the Daily Express. But the pair of them are just appalling. If you've ever looked at it online, you'll notice on the right-hand side, there's a column. And it's like clickbaity stories to read other articles, and they're all reality stars and people I have no clue who they are, and they have a phrase. Oh, what was the phrase? Because they got in trouble for using it.
People who in the current climate don't matter.
Yeah, no, it was a particular phrase that they use, and you can Google this phrase And it's tantamount to like child pornography, this phrase. Something like sweet 16, only not sweet 16. Mm. And if you look up this phrase, you get all the articles from the Daily Mail. And basically it's like stars like the one who plays Hermione Granger, Emma Watson, when she turned 16, and Charlotte Church when she turned 16. And basically the Daily Mail are there waiting so they can put these stories out and all the pictures that go with it. So no, Daily Mail, not exactly the best reputation. But what was the article? Like Jonathan says, what was the article?
China buying up PPE back in February.
That could well be true. If it's not about sort of reality stars or clickbait, then maybe what's in it could be true. I would imagine they could be, because they knew where they were at, and then they're now sending it on to other countries being the hero, because to be honest, if they didn't, they'd be crucified for what they've done. In other news, I did see on the BBC, which, you know, you take that with a pinch of salt, but they're sometimes accurate, that the wet markets have opened up again. They are just disgusting. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a link. Don't start watching it now because it's really long. But it's well, well worth watching. It's from a respected source. I got it sent. Where's Rachel? Come on, Rachel. There we are. She sent it to me a good few weeks ago. I think we, even before we went into lockdown. And it's a link to a video on YouTube. So I'm going to try and open it up on YouTube. Oh, it's not letting me open it up on YouTube. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Right. Brilliant. It's open up on YouTube. Let me see who it was by. Basically, it explains somebody called Vox, and it explains how it happened from a Chinese market. I was absolutely horrified. So take the link and watch it later. I got to the end of it and I just wrote back to Rachel with like, OMG, it was bad. It was put up on the 6th of March, which was a Friday, dental appointment, if you remember, Mike, and it's had 22 million views. And the US was buying up the N95s as well. I believe all of it. We've not got anything. We had a delivery apparently of 160,000 gowns, but now we're short again. So I said, what are they doing with them? Because in years gone by, everything belonged to the hospital and it would go to the hospital laundry. And as discussed with Tracy, when she was absolutely horrified, she sends her apologies, by the way, she was absolutely horrified at Rachel washing her own scrubs. Same with these gowns. The gowns are being given out, then what's happening to them? They're just vanishing. But if there was a laundry, they would be guaranteed to be sanitary to be used again. So why did they ever shut the laundries down is what I'd ask. Should I ask the health secretary? Because he always looks absolutely petrified when he does those conferences in the afternoon. Mind you, they were all pretty Patel out, didn't they? On was it Sunday?
Saturday,
I think. Yeah, rolled her back in pretty swiftly. She upset everybody.
I've just put a link in to a chart.
Oh, a chart.
Yeah, that can be my chart for after hours on Friday.
Okay, let me have a look. Oh, let me have a look. I've been doing my course today, so I'm up to the eyeballs with open tabs. But let's have a look. Coffee's fairly standard then. Shavings drop like a stone. Look at the toilet roll.
Sweatpants and car usage. It's pretty accurate.
It is actually pretty accurate. Jonathan, you're spot on. You know who's been very quiet? Jacob Rees-Mogg. Absolutely. He was on the front of a paper about a week ago. And I didn't read all of it because I think it was the Daily Mail. I just look at the headlines and think, would you believe that or not? And move on. But this story was that he's a very, very wealthy man through business. And there was something about part of the response to the coronavirus outbreak would make him even more money. So maybe that's why he's being quiet. Isn't he not the father of the house? What's the other thing? What's his title, Mike?
Rees-Mogg.
Yeah, apart from idiot. I actually thought he'd be very good at one point. And then he turned on me. You need to shave each week.
Commons leader.
Leader of the Commons. But this is, let's see, maybe Kim wouldn't know this and she needs to know this. Why is there no ice cream on the show? That is a very good point. No chocolate either. Mike, you're going to have to adjust that.
Mm.
Let me find that picture of Rees-Mogg. You obviously know, Kim, that we have the House of Commons and the House of Lords. The House of Commons has the green seats and the House of Lords has the red. Well, he's in the Commons, so he's an MP. And there was this particular debate about something. Well, it would be Brexit at the time, wouldn't it? Something Brexity. Jacob Rees-Mogg. Hang on, how am I spelling Rees-Mogg? Mind you, he's bound to find him. And people took this photo. You may well have seen it online. They took a snapshot of him. And this was actually him. I've got it. There it is. I've got it. Hang on. Yeah, whatever. That's what I mean. Got the picture. I'm going to put the picture. Here's hoping you can see it on Droppler. This was actually him during a debate in the House of Commons. He did get ridiculed for it, but that's not the point. Oh, it's a... Oh, let me take a better shot. Crying out loud. It's a WebP image. Anybody ever tried using a WebP image? Nothing opens them. Well, having said that, Affinity Photo does, but no, not good enough. Just not good enough. Come on. I've actually had to capture this rather than grab the screenshot because it wouldn't upload it. You couldn't see it. Right, let's try again. Let's try again. Actually, one of our MPs at work in the House of Commons. Brace yourself. Jonathan will remember this. Jonathan, it's worth saying the Commons is elected, the Lords is unelected. Yes. Yeah. Do you know, they were talking about that in my day, Jonathan. The exam question was, and I quote, "The House of Lords is an anachronism in a modern state. Discuss." So that image was him at work during a Commons debate. Personally, I think he should be shot. He's another one on my should be shot list. In fact, you can't even see his legs on that one. But there were others that were as bad. He's like a character out of a Dickens film, to be honest. I can't find the one where you can see him laid out in full. But there is another image. Jonathan will appreciate this one. Right, what format are you? Oh, you're something we can see. Fantastic. Let's get that one up there. When I say he's like a character in a Dickens film, there you go. Workers watch porn. Oh, good grief. There was something that came out about 6 months ago that an audit of government computers was done and they were riddled with porn. But not actually in there. So Jonathan says, you won't divulge your political stance. I think I've got a clue, Jonathan. You're appalled at that. It's just bad. It's disrespectful to the House. So he was somebody that I did actually have a little bit of respect for. There was a video on YouTube. He went to something like the Oxford Union and got some questions. And one of the questions, you know, it was all framed in terms of that he wouldn't be able to answer it without making himself look an idiot. And the answer was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I said to Mike, he's a politician that can think on his feet. I respect that. And then a couple of months later, he did that. And I said to Mike, just no. Not on any planet is that acceptable. But that could just be me. I don't think it's just me. Jonathan feels the same. How did you feel about that, Mike? He's snoozing.
I'm not snoozing.
Not you. Rees-Mogg. God, he's not taking any notice either.
Rees-Mogg.
Have you looked at the images I've sent? Clearly not. No. Try the top one first. Oh. Got my head in my hands now. Oh, I look like an emoji. Snoozing.
Yes, I remember that one.
That's disgusting. For any politician. Can you imagine if that had been what's his face?
Boris.
No, the other one on the other side. Oh, you know Corbyn. What I mean. Corbyn. Did you know, Kim, that's actually sadly true. Yeah. If they'd have all slept through Brexit, it would have been fine. I can't believe we've actually Brexited now. It's actually made no difference whatsoever, has it? So what was all that fuss about? I guess it will down the line, but at the moment, whatever. It's actually a bank holiday here today. Who feels it's a bank holiday here today?
Well, I didn't go to work, so yes.
Yeah, but you haven't gone to work for 6 weeks.
Thanks.
No, I mean, you've worked here, but not actually gone to work. What have you lost now?
A sweetie wrapper.
Do you know, you're so professional. Crunch, crunch, crunch. It's Mike and all his toffee wrappers. Get them in the bin. Give them here. Honestly, listen this. That's all his toffee wrappers. You've not even noticed. It felt like Sunday. The thing was, Jonathan, on Thursday, it felt like Friday. When it got to Friday, I was convinced it was Saturday. Saturday, I thought it was Friday. And now I'm completely lost.
It's Easter Monday, Kim.
It is Easter Monday. It's bank holiday. We have two bank holidays over Easter. We have Good Friday and we have Easter Monday. So what Mike and I usually do, makes great sense, is for Mike to take the next 4 days off. And that way he would have finished last Thursday, but wouldn't go back to work until a week today. But at the minute, obviously he's at AZ and they're on the front line. Politicians keep mentioning AZ. The scientists are trying to come up with one, a cure, two, inoculations, and three, antibody tests. So he's rushed off his feet with Excel courses. So we decided, shall we all say it, Mike, for the good of the business, the business, massive quotes, he'd put his holiday off. So, yeah, but imagine, if we'd have got to Wednesday and we wouldn't have known where we were, would we?
No.
No, there'd been no structure at all. You'd have forgotten to go back to work. It's got that bad. So we've only got today. We've only had the last 4 days. Hasn't felt like Easter. It hasn't really. I mean, Easter for us is usually chaotic at the beginning. As Mike finishes on the Thursday, we would go to what's called the Maundy Thursday Mass, which is where the priest washes the feet of 12 people. I've had that done. You've had that done twice. Then on Good Friday, we'd be at Mass at 3 o'clock. There's the Stations of the Cross at 11 o'clock and 5 o'clock, if you feel that way inclined. Then on the Saturday, there's the Vigil Mass from about 7:30. Well, 7:30 if you want to see it. And then on Easter Sunday, we'd be at Mass. And of course, none of that happened. I've just been sat here editing his videos. Have had quite a few thanks about that, though, haven't we? Mm. Which is nice. So, no, it's not really felt like Easter. It's just... Oh, who's competition? Who's competition? He's at competition, I think, with the company my brother works for. Oh, Johnson & Johnson. Ooh. I always think of Mike as being in competition with...
GSK.
GSK. They make Viagra. That's all I know about them. But I know they've been working on this as well, haven't they? Maybe it'd be nice and they'll all work together. So on Easter Monday, yes, we rest. It's supposed to be a day of rest. For us, it's not the day before we go back to work usually, but this year it is. And I think that's the first time in the last 28 years, isn't it?
Mm.
I think every other year we've had this week off, but we've decided for the good of the business not to do that this year. They do, don't they, Jonathan? They're world renowned for it. If only they put as much effort into a cure for this. I'll say no more than that.
Didn't GSK want to buy AstraZeneca?
They did at one point, and wasn't there another company as well, an American company?
Yeah, and I thought we were going to get Viagra as part
free Viagra.
Of it. Free Viagra.
Useful.
Instead of shares.
Say no more than that. So the vicar posted a picture of his foot in the jug and bowl. Here's what you got to want. What ours did, which I thought was quite appropriate, really. I'll give him a brownie point for that. He puts, there's a cross, a wooden cross. It's not a neatly made thing. It's very rough. It's made out of just like two branches of wood. And he had that there for one mass. For the other one, which was the Thursday night one where we do the washing of the feet, he'd put a bowl of water and a towel on a table in front of the altar. And I thought it was symbolic, you know, would that you were here. I would have done it. They do take great care with that. If you've never had it done, and obviously Jonathan wouldn't have had it done, they have the deacon warm the water. So it's certainly got the edge taken off. It's not cold. I wouldn't say it was hot, but it's warm enough not for you to scream blue murder. And then the deacon will, it's in a jug. So the deacon will come around. He'll put a bowl under your foot. It's only 1 foot. And then he'll pour the water out over your foot. And then the priest wraps a towel around it and dries it for you. What's so funny is, obviously, you know you're picked beforehand. He sorts it out in the sort of 10 days before the mass. And everybody washes their feet. And he says you're not supposed to. But people go and you should see the ladies. Absolutely perfect. Nails the lot. But it's nice, isn't it, Mike? It's a nice symbol.
It is.
So he put the bowl out. And he had a towel next to it, and the bowl sat there for the majority of the mass. But then when he came to the bit where he would normally have done the feet, and if you're wondering how that works in terms of dynamics of how he gets to you, the people who are having their feet washed sit on the end seat of the front six pews. So you go up the aisle and then you've got six seats on one side, six on the other, and the ones having their feet done are on the end of those aisles. So what he did at the point of washing the feet was wash his hands. And, you know, in the current climate, I thought, that works. That totally works. So who knows, maybe we'll be doing that next year.
It was Pfizer.
Pfizer
made Viagra.
Was it?
Yeah. And they wanted to buy AZ.
I knew there were a company who wanted to buy AZ, but obviously GlaxoSmithKline did as well. So it's Pfizer with Viagra. See, that's how much I know. All I know is it's blue and useless. Why don't they make something that cures cancer? Just saying. Right. Some prayers in the Jewish faith requires those who are descendants of the tribe Levi to wash the feet of the other tribe. Where do you fit in on that? Do you bother, Jonathan? We only do that once a year. That is a once a year affair. What other ones do we have like that where you need volunteers? It's a 27 readers, isn't it, at vigil night that does me in.
Yeah, you got collared first year out.
I got collared the first year out, and then there was one, I think it was Christmas time, and I walked into mass and he dived over to me and he took one look at my face and he said, "Are you okay?" And I mimed, "No, I've lost my voice." And he went, "Oh, right." So Mike said, "Did you want something?" He went, no, I wanted her to read, but never mind. So I couldn't do it. I escaped that one. You ever done reading? I think you've escaped all the time, haven't you?
I did a reading at the Christmas concert.
Oh, you did. You carol did. Concert. Yes, the carol concert. You've done the carol concert twice. You got the long one. I think that was because the guy organising it realised you could read.
True.
So Mike got up first and did the long one. No, I actually meant at mass, you know, where he collars you for a vigil or something. You wander in and you think, I'll go through the side door. I did that once. I actually left through the side door. So what happens is he goes to the back of the church and you all troop past and shake hands. And Mike was doing the tea and coffee with the Catinians. So I thought to myself, I'll nick out the side door. That way I can avoid all that malarkey. But he wasn't doing the mass. The second priest was. So once it was over, the second priest takes forever. I thought, right, I'll nick out the side. So I whipped in front of the altar, did the bowing thing, got over to the side door, thought, yes, I've made it. Open the side door and it opens into a porch. So there's like, you open the inside door of the church and then there's another door and you get through that one, you're outside. I opened the inside door, nearly wet myself. I opened it and the priest was stood there. The thing was, he looked as frightened as I did. He'd come in the side door to avoid the shaking of the hands at the back as well. That was bad. We need double doors there, Mike. Mm. Oh, that was a good day, that was. So Viagra was initially developed for pulmonary hypertension. A rather profitable side effect. Nobody's using it for that anymore, are they? Pulmonary, though, so to do with the lungs. So maybe it would have some good-ish. Mind you, you'd have trouble rolling patients on their front, wouldn't you? Just saying. Which they are actually doing, apparently, to help them breathe. But it takes, was it 45 minutes to turn a patient and about 12 staff? It looked horrific. Some of the things on the news channels, I can't stop watching. You know when your eye catches something and you think, what are they doing? And you start watching and then you're just like, oh, this is horrific. And there was one from New York. They did New York again. They also did one in this country. And you can't stop watching. It's bad. What happens if you need to take it for high blood pressure? You'd be very popular, Jonathan. Do you know, they've actually tried developing one for women. I mean, the first question that comes to mind is why? Most women haven't got time. Secondary, most women can't be interested. I don't know why they would, but hey, that's just sad, actually. It's sad that it's more important than saving lives. But that's men for you. Say no more. Oh, I've got a COVID idiot for you as well. Can't forget the COVID idiot of the day, can we? This one got two for today. Oh, yes. I think there's two idiots in this car. You may have seen it, Jonathan, but I don't think Kim would have done. There you go. 200 miles for a fishing trip from London to Devon. Thing is, Devon is as tight as a drum at the minute. They don't want visitors. Devon's a beautiful area of the country. That's where Graham lives with his bears. Beautiful area, but it attracts visitors and they don't want any visitors. And you can fully understand that. So the police have basically got it in total lockdown. There's only a few roads leading to Devon. It's at the end of the M5. That's where Tracy's from, isn't it, as well? So Tracy would know this. So it's easy to lock it down. So on the main roads and even some of the arterial roads, they've locked it down. So they caught those idiots. You know, they got as far as they did because they actually did get to the Devon border, but they weren't crossing into the Devon border. No. I also saw some pickies yesterday. Where did they go? It was photographs of lockdown in Manchester. And it was amazing to see it. Some of it you'd recognise, Jonathan.
There was in Leeds that I showed you.
Let me have a look. Oh. Any newspaper worth reading's behind a paywall, isn't it? Have you noticed? Mm. The Telegraph. I think it was the Evening News I saw it in. Oh, there's some in lockdown in Manchester. There's a Facebook group. Yeah, no, that's not it. That's an entertainment. Ah, this is the one. Was it Secret Manchester? Are these now? Let me have a look. What's the date on this? March the 23rd. Oh, there's some classic ones here. Also, some of them are inside the Arndale. But the ones I was looking at were outside, like St. Peter's Square. And is it Sackville Street, Mike?
Yeah.
And there was just nothing there. So there's one there of Manchester. That's our main town. Jonathan lives way closer to that than we do. About, what, 8-9 miles, something like that. But you look at the pictures and I've never seen Manchester like that, not even Christmas Day. Christmas Day, you get a lot of people going in for a Chinese. Instead of having a Christmas lunch, they'll go in and they'll have a Chinese for Christmas. When on earth was this one posted? Thankfully it was March. But you know, you wonder why it spreads and then you look at stuff like this. And it's frightening. There was a nice one went round today. Don't know if anybody saw that. It was from an undertaker. And he was saying, if you're out for your constitutional walk that you're allowed and you see a hearse, you know, give a sign of respect because there's no mourners at these funerals. Which reminded me of when we buried my grandfather. I was about 14, I think. Yeah, I think I was 14. And we were in the car following the hearse. And this old gentleman stopped, took his hat off, because that was in the days gentlemen had hats on, and blessed himself and stood and waited while all the cars went past. So I've always done that since, thinking it's a nice thing to do. But I haven't been out, so I haven't seen any funerals. In fact, over here, I think we're at the point that they're not even putting them in a hearse, really, are they? It's just get them there and that's it. Which is really, really sad. There was another one as well that was a classic. Did you read that one, Jonathan? Man, the UK, not Manchester, but the UK at its best. Not. Did you read it, Mike? There was two shootings and a stabbing, or two stabbings and a shooting in Liverpool.
I think I did.
And guess what they did? What? Put them in lockdown. I thought, just a minute. Aren't they already in lockdown? They got extra powers for, I think it was 24 hours. And the extra powers were to stop and search anybody aged 14 to 50 and take any weapons off them. I mean, really? That's Scotland. Now, here's some pictures of the UK, but not particularly Manchester. I need to find these ones of Manchester. There's one of Manchester, which is a woman on a balcony, according to this. But that actually looks like a police van. But there is a beautiful picture of Scotland, and there's actually quite a few there. The Queen's Ferry Crossing. Isn't that where we got on the wrong road, Mike?
I think so.
On the way back. There we go. Oh, you saw it too, Jonathan. I think it would be like post-apocalyptic, wasn't it, walking around there? Because you know it as busy. And it's a very strange dynamic when it's not. And it, like I say, it isn't even just like Christmas. It's totally different. Ugh. Well, I'm sure we'll get lots more of those pictures. It's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be the first day for best part of a week that people would technically be going to work. Technically. Did I put the ones in of Secret Manchester? Let me see. Let me get back to the chat. Did I put the Secret Manchester ones? I did. They are eerie, but I think they're edited to look eerie, some of them. They're very sharp at the edges, aren't they? Talking of sharp, sharp reminds me of brushes. Brushes reminds me of Friday. Brushes. I know you're all keen, aren't you? So I'm contemplating brushes. Definitely contemplating brushes. But in the meanwhile, what are you using for data storage? Oh, I saw that one, Anthony. When quarantine's over, let's not tell some people. Yeah, like the majority of them. Let's just let the nice folks out and leave the rest. The ones who've been complete idiots anyway. Yeah, let's not ever let them out. I was actually contemplating, could we put them on the cruise ships and leave them on there for 6 months? Yeah, till they learn some manners. So data storage, what are we all using for data storage? Standard hard drives, NAS drives, cloud storage, what's your preference?
Floppy disks.
Asking for a reason. Oh yes, you and your floppy disks. Mike's actually sorted his drawers out today, haven't you?
Yeah, I found about half a dozen pen drives.
It wasn't the pen drives I was interested in. No, he had a desk full, we should have taken photos, of all Mike's cables, and he's just looking at them. So I said, would you like me to have a look? He had no idea what they were for, much less what they actually are. One of them, the first one he gave me, was kind of semi-transparent, so you could see the silver foil in it, and it was red. Subsequently, every cable he handed to me was stained with this red one. They were FireWire 800 cables. Well, I'm rolling on the floor. I'm thinking, I don't think we've got a computer that you could actually plug that into.
What
have you found? Was it lost?
Yes.
Oh, look at his little face.
Three triangles of Toblerone.
Is it white?
No, it's proper.
It's proper fruit and nut Toblerone. Mike won't be speaking for a while he consumes his...
No, I'm going to have it later.
Three cubes of triangles.
No, I'll have it for breakfast.
So one was a FireWire 800. I think he actually had three of those. Then there were some others, FireWire 400. So we've pensioned those off. He had two, and neither of us have got a clue what they were for. But it was scary because they were very thick. They were very sturdy. They clearly had some kind of proprietary end on them. Neither of us know what they are. Same at either end. But neither of us have a clue what they were for. Anyway, all your cables are sorted out now, aren't they? And they've all been filed away.
Yeah.
So all we're now waiting for, cable-wise, is Thursday, make a note of the day, when we are expecting, fingers crossed, an audio cable. When we've got the audio cable, we will be able to install the audio cable and Mike's new mic cable. Please don't blow this one up, Mike. You're already onto your fifth. Don't know what he does with them.
No.
So we're putting that in.
He's talking too much.
And that's going to get it off the floor. Excellent.
I'm just reading the chat.
So am I. I'm going back up now. Let's have a look.
Ooh. Him, her, belt and suspenders. I like that. I like it better than belt and braces.
Now, you see, lots are saying NAS. Not into NASes myself. Seriously considered it. Did a lot of research. Decided absolutely terrible idea. Let's have a look here. Synology, QNAP NAS, Dropbox. Is that Dropbox or Drobo Box, Anthony? And an SSD hanging off the back. I should take a photo of the back of mine. Oh, there's so many SSDs hanging off it. It's scary. Standard HD. Now, you see, that's me, Paul. Standard HD. Simple. Straightforward, to the point, easy to change, cheap. Yep, that's my system. But you're working on a NAS. Oh, no.
Drop that.
Right, I have one in the flat, one at the parents, sync with each other. Mum does the same. That's a great system then. If you've got one at yours and you've got one somewhere else, that's a great system. So pCloud, we've got pCloud. Is it 1 terabyte we've got or two?
I think it's two.
I think we've got a lifetime 2 terabytes, which we got about a year ago. It was actually, that might be a very good time if you're interested in pCloud to have a think about it. I think there must be a British company, but don't quote me. And they ran a St. George's Day offer. And it was 2 terabytes for life. And it was actually quite cheap for 2 terabytes.
2 terabytes?
Yeah.
I've used 88 meg.
You can see how hard he's been working on it. Yeah, but your Google Drive's full.
They're Swiss.
Oh, well, they did a great deal for St. George's Day, so which might come on again. So we'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, but, you know, UK does Black Friday deals and Thanksgiving Day deals.
Oh, yeah, they do. You're quite right. But not many tend to do St. George's Day deals, do they? So pCloud, external drives, thumb drives, SSDs, external hard drives. Yes. Yes. Me too. We should probably tell Kim, shouldn't we? Mike's wondering now.
What about the shelves?
No. No. That over here we would say belt and braces.
That's what I said before.
Yes. Suspenders has a totally different meaning and image. But I know in the States it is braces or suspenders.
Just think Freddy.
Yes. Suspenders hold up stockings in this country. You would probably never hear braces called suspenders. I did know a barrister who called them suspenders, but he was very old school. We've got S3 storage as well. And it's funny you should mention CDs and DVDs. One of these cables that Mike found that I kept out was a double-headed USB. So one end of it was, I think it's a USB-B or a C, that would go into a USB drive. But the other end is 2 standard USBs, which would give you enough power. I remember using one of these cables for a Google Chromebook, and I was actually able, I have no idea how I did this, because you can't install software, but I actually managed to burn a DVD on it. It was amazing. I did some backups on it. It was stunning. The only thing that I needed was the cable. Mostly Apple computers are okay, but mostly third-party computers need the double-headed cable, which we've got. Right, let me have a look. Going back up. A 5 or 6 bay. Wow. It's bigger than Jonathan's. I'm not saying anything, Jonathan. Not saying anything. But you bought one because it was gold-coloured. Hey, but whatever the reason, if it works for you, let's have a look at it. Let's have a look.
You know when you do a Google?
Wow. That's beautiful. For a NAS drive, you know, which you don't expect to be pretty. That's pretty. Loving it. Right, you know when you do a Google?
When you do a Google, so I Google suspenders USA.
Yeah.
And you get the link to the web page and you get like the 2-line synopsis.
Yeah.
It says, many business people, newscasters such as Larry King and professionals such as lawyers also still wear suspenders.
Which has a totally different view. That's fabulous. Separated by a common language, we are.
Yeah.
Right. How do you like your iMac shelf? Oh. Is that because I mentioned it, Kim? It's a 12 South shelf. I absolutely adore mine. When you buy it, make sure you go, if you're buying it new, make sure you go for a second one, a second generation one. So it's 12 South. I must remember not to put in due south, which I've been known to do.
Due south.
Yes, due south. That's and the doggy. Yeah, there's 2 versions of it. I think this is the newer one. It's hideously expensive. Absolutely hideously expensive. They even did a matte black one, but they're out of stock of that. Current price, I think it used to be £30. Now they're just taking the proverbial at the moment. £43.95, which is obscene. However, it does work brilliantly. Happy to report that. I think this is the 2nd generation. Let me just see if it puts it. Yeah, it does. If you look at the pictures, so let me get the link in for you. Hope you'll be able to see it. If you look at the pictures, the difference between the new one and the old one is picture 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Good night, Kim. Picture Take 7. Care. Picture 7 shows the shelf underneath the iMac so you can put your keyboard on it. The first revision of the shelf didn't sit in that position. It only went behind. So the idea is from the company, you know, if they make it multifunctional, you'd be able to put, you'd buy more than one. You'd have one at the top at the back, one at the bottom at the back and one at the front. But at $43.95, not happening. Luckily, my two have got them. I've either got two or three of them. So most of my Macs have already got one on. Has yours got one? Or did we just use the shelf behind it?
No, I haven't got a shelf.
I think it'd bring the iMac too far forward. The other thing that I've got, and I'm not sure if it was that one, but that would work. And that's a similar price. Ooh, might have to get one of those for Mike. Let me show you this one. This one, my iMac in here is not sat on, but my two external monitors to bring them up to exactly the same level as my iMac are sat on one of these. I think I paid about £60 for mine. I've got two, one on either side. It gives me a little bit of room underneath. So under both of them, I've got a USB port, 10-port power thing. And I've also shoved underneath them like my trackpad, because I don't use it that often. And there's a watch charger under there. I'll take a new picture of my desk. That's what I'll do. But I could probably get away now. Now, I've changed my monitors. If you remember, I used to have two 23-inch monitors, 24-inch monitors, and I upgraded them. You know, remember when they threw them over the fence and they landed in the garden on a concrete slab? That one. didn't break. I've now got two 27 inches, and I possibly could raise the iMac a smidgen. Might give you more room as well, Mike.
Mm.
You're interested now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's not a bad price. That is not a bad price. Obviously, it's just big enough to put your keyboard and mouse under if you use a standard keyboard. Not so great if you don't use a standard keyboard, though. Mine's the one with the numeric keypad. So, unfortunately, not. But it does have nice gaps at the side so you can get your cables in and out. So it would give you a little bit of room, wouldn't it? If I used a standard keyboard, I'd be all over that. Let me have a look. Let me just measure mine. No, it's probably about an inch and a half too short to put a full keyboard under. They do other ones that maybe be a bit bigger. Might have to look at one of those now. You've taught me into spending money. How on earth did you do this? I've no idea how you manage that. Let me go back and have a look at the page I was looking at. That's because I was looking up the 12 South shelf, wasn't it? And it came up under that. No, they haven't got one big enough for my keyboard, I don't think. Not that it looks as nice as that, anyway. There's a wooden thing that's black. Like, no, not happening. Advantage of that for me would be sliding a laptop under it. Ooh, I think I might have talked myself into it for sliding a laptop underneath. I do have shelves for my laptops, of course. You've seen those, haven't you, guys? Don't think I have them on the website. But I have taken a photo. There we go. Let's get that up. Upload the last image. That'll do nicely. Request failed. Brilliant. Detect the sarcasm. Tap to upload. Yep. Go on. Let's see if this one fails. Go on. Right. So, I've got that on there. Let's see if this works as it's supposed to work. Would that anything works as it's supposed to work? Link. Let me try that. If that works, I can share it with you. Miracles have happened. Oh, look at the fingerprint on the front of that. Oh, I'm going to have to clean up now. Right, there you go. All my laptops and iPads are stood up sideways. But yeah, I'm liking that shelf. Yeah, just because I would say. So now I know where all your data is. I'm going to have to ponder that for a bit. You're wondering why I'm asking, aren't you? Asking for a reason. Paul says he's a data hoarder. Oh, tell me about it. I'm shocking. I am shocking. I inadvertently stumbled across a video somehow. I've no idea how I stumbled across this video, but I came across it, and it was this youngish lady, millennial, probably about 22, something like that. And she said her hard drive was getting full, and she was going to delete some files. And I'm like, what do you mean? Delete some files? Like, no, get some storage and put them somewhere, but don't delete them. But she did. She went through it. Oh, I don't need this and I don't need that. And I've used this. And I'm horrified. I am beyond horrified. So I must admit, bit of a digital hoarder myself. Mind you, what's really good is finding something when you're looking for it, when you know you've got it, because otherwise you're storing it and on the odd occasion you look for it, you can't find it, and that is so infuriating. It was music we were looking for, wasn't it? A particular version of a particular song. Yeah. And I said, I've got it, but it's over there. And it's basically in cradles that hold external drives. So I said I'd be able to do it, but I'd have to hook up a computer to it to do it. They're not actually on the network. Of course they would be, wouldn't they, if I went NAS, Paul? I can't be persuaded. I know I'm not going to be persuaded. It's the history that I did, I think, when I researched it. But I've got the link to that Pretty Gold thing. So I'm going to have a look at that one. And I'm going to have a look at Synology. And then I'll come back and we'll talk about it. I'm thinking probably my main data is going to be Dropboxable. While keeping active data in Google Drive, because that's where my majority of data is. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm presuming all of these have the ability to access them via an iPad remotely. That doesn't look very nice, that one. I'll have a read of it. How much is it? Because it's looking expensive. It looks very nice and it's looking very expensive. Let's have a look. There's no price on there. Okay. Oh, there's a buy button. Let's go and have a look. Might get the smelling salts out. Where to buy in the UK? Just anybody. You know, anywhere. Just Amazon. Okay. Take me to it. Show it to me. Right, which one is it? It had six on it. Five or six. That one's got five. Don't see the sixth one. That's weird. Let's go for home and small office. No, that's Seagate. Do they sell the drives with these? Is that what they're doing? Ah, hang on. Okay, I now need oxygen, Mike. I've found one. 6 bay Thunderbolt, 8 gig of RAM. Does that come with the storage? £2,122.09. You know, if you're paying that much, you might as well go for the next one up, which is the 8 bay. And that one is £2,835.40. Not bad, hey? Mike smelling salts now. There's no way. There is no way. That kind of money, mind you, hang on, what's that one? There's another 8 bay one with only 2 gig of RAM. And that's only, I'm actually saying this, Mike, only $932.99 and an 8 bay for $1,053.99. So I presume that's the ones we're talking about. Got one left in stock, delivery this week. Oh, you know, £1,053.99 plus $4.99 delivery. You know, you could have thrown the delivery in at that price. That one is a QNAP. So is anybody using that kind? QNAP, span.com. You didn't pay that for yours. I'm glad about that, Anthony. Wow. I'm presuming that's because it's got a lot more RAM in it. But yeah, the other ones, they still don't come with drives with that though, do they? So that doesn't include the drives. Or does it? Let's have a look. No, I don't think it does. So you need 8 drives with that, which is probably going to double the price. Let's have a look what it says. Good build quality, easy to manage, versatile feature set, large expansion support, blah, 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 blah. Ooh, then there's a couple of reviews that don't like it. Oh, wow. My RAID 6 failed twice and I lost 30 terabytes of data. The disk keep randomly disconnecting with an NCQ disabled timeout error. I think the enclosure was faulty, blah, 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 but they refused to address the issue. Blah, blah, blah. Drives are not supported in the enclosure as it's running on an ARM processor. So he lost data. Other one says pretty much the same. I will have a look at these. I'm going to take your recommendations away and go and have a look. So you don't need to fully populate it. No, I can see you would add to it in the way that you would add to cloud storage as and when. We've got 1 terabyte on Google Drive and we know that there is a 2 terabyte option, but we're not going to go to it until I'm halfway there, but I could move some stuff off, to be honest. So I think I'll just stick with the 1 terabyte and see how far it takes me. I'm peeved. I have to pay twice as much. What I get, I pay, I think it's about £68 in a year. But what I get for my 68, other people get double. So I must admit, I'm a bit peeved with that. But until they bring the price down, not much I can do about this. We'll just have to see. I was interested because we'd done a piece on it and I got some feedback. And I wanted to take everybody's temperature and see where they were at with their storage. So whatever we talk about is relevant to people. And it all seems that you like your NAS. So you've got 3 in it in a bay of 6. That kind of makes sense. But I'm wondering, you know, like you would obviously put your drives in it, and then as and when they get full, then you will increase the capacity. Makes sense to do that, you know, to buy one and then do that with it. I'm wondering what the guarantee is on the unit itself, whether you would get round to using those slots before the unit reached the end of its useful life. Jonathan's never had any problems. You're one of the lucky ones, Jonathan. Western Digital, have to swap one out soon, around 6 years old. That's not bad, 6 years. That's not bad. Oh, I know all about the RAID configurations. Good grief, that was on my first ever Microsoft exam. Do you remember studying that, Mike? Because you loathe networking and hardware, don't you?
I do.
Yes, I had to do all about that on my Windows 95 one. And then I upped to a Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer thing and I had 6 more to do. And every one of them needed to know about configurations. So, yes, absolutely. Know all about those. The drives, the drivers it needs to access it on the computer itself is also an issue. There was one time Apple did an update and bricked everybody's drive, only temporarily while they fixed it. But again, you had no access to your data because they'd balked the drivers. And you just think, basic. Did these things not be to test it? But obviously, clearly not. I think I'd get the best quality drives for those, like you're saying. What I've actually taken to doing is, like, I've got a drive hung off my Mac right now. It's called Scratch. And it's basically where data goes while it's being processed. So if I'm processing a video, and that could be anything like, you know, 400 gig for a video, depends on how long it is and the quality. It goes on that one and it's an SSD. So the whole thing, it gets moved off the main drive and it all happens a lot faster on there. So I've taken to putting SSDs on it. Some SSDs are duplicates of other SSDs. And just use it like that. Makes it a little bit easier from the power perspective that I don't have to have lots of things plugged into the power. It's taking the power off the unit or it's taking the power off a dedicated USB thing. Just makes it that little bit easier in terms of cabling. Right, they last a bit longer generally, all on all the time. Never really moved about. True, they're not. Just keep them clean and cool and you should be okay. They probably wouldn't work too well turned off. They take quite a while to warm up and get back online again. So, yes, absolutely. I'm interested nobody mentioned Drobo, which was the poster child of it a few years ago. With it came awful things. But, yeah, they were one of the popular ones. Which USB hub? Oh, those are the ones USB. Oh, I see. Which one are you using? Do you mean my USB hub? My USB hub cost me about £35. It's a USB 3 and it's got 10 ports on it, all of them powered. I think the £35 was probably on offer. They're probably around the 50 mark now. But I'll get, I'll go to Amazon and I will get a link for you of the one that I actually use. USB 3 hub. I actually did a video of that. Did you see that one? It was a video that went in an after hours of me installing it next door. So when I click on it, it should tell me I've already bought one. No, none of these are the ones I've got. Where have you put them? Don't tell me. Not available anymore. Mine was metal. I wanted a metal one, which would help with the heat. And I'm not seeing any of these looking remotely like mine. Not a one of them. There is a metal one. Is that metal? Power tub, blah, 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 £40. I'm going to have to go to... my mouse is dead, Mike. I swear there's something wrong with this. I'm going to have to go to my Amazon orders and do it that way. And I think they're going to tell me it's not in stock. So let's put USB hub. That looks like the one. Last July. Orico. It was an Orico. Oh, no, it's there. It's there. It's just not turning up in the search. That's the one I installed. Been working perfectly ever since. I've got one for Mike. And I have one behind my iMac. One next to my iMac. One in a box under the desk on my iMac. I've got one next door in the studio. That was the one that you saw me install. So, yeah, we've got lots of these. And the only difference is they've gone a little bit smaller. So Anthony used to have a Drobo, really liked, but it wasn't workable, had to use FireWire. That's a problem, isn't it? You buy something that's fantastic. We've got loads of drives and they've got great speed ports on them, but they're FireWire 800 or FireWire 400. And it's not really worth bothering with these days. I know you can get adapters and most of the drives do have a USB port, so a backup port. But then they're so slow. And then you look at them and think it's 60 gig. Do you know what? Just take the data off. Put it on a Ben drive these days. So that's pretty much what I do. But the USB hubs, we've been very lucky with them. I used to have hubs blow up regularly. That's why I started buying more expensive ones and particularly metal ones for the heat on them. You pick up a plastic one and it virtually burns you. These don't seem to get too hot. They get hotter depending on what you're doing with them. But... they've been okay. Yours been all right?
Yeah.
I think the more I put on them, the more they struggle. So that's why I go for the 10 port and give them a bit of breathing space. But they do tend to work really well. I've got all sorts plugged in them as well. I've got an ITV plugged in. I've got drives plugged in. I've got microphones plugged in. The Stream Deck. Mike, you're squeaking. The Stream Deck plugged in. What else have I got? Well, pretty much anything you can plug in, I've got plugged in. So Anthony says, uses it as a media server, so had to use a Mac Mini connected to the Drobo, and that meant you could get rid of the Mac Mini. In that case, you know, you're knocking the price of the Mac Mini and the management aspect of it off the price of the drive, aren't you? So, yeah, might make sense. We've just never gone that way. I like simplicity. But we'll talk about that at another juncture, won't we? We will. So what's everybody got planned for the week, or is that a sore point at the moment? You're working, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of a course, so I'm doing that. And catching up. I'm always in catch-up mode. Now, see, I've never gone the Plex route either. I don't think I watch enough to go the Plex route. Meant to have a look at that the other night. I foresee we should be getting Johnny together with Anthony to work on a piece on Plex. How about a review, guys? Right, Plex Media Server. I think I tried that many, many moons ago. When it was an independent app, I think, and it didn't need much else. So let me have a look at it. So have you got premium? Obviously. You've probably gone premium, haven't you? £32 a year. Or you can go lifetime for £95. And yet the most popular is monthly. Is that a Plex Pass? Oh, they are Plex Passes. Right, okay. I'll have a look at that. But I'm thinking review time. Teaching or taking. Ah, Jonathan, you know me. I'm clever like that. I'm taking a course, but part of the course is working on a project. So that the project I'm working on is making a course. Now, that's meta, isn't it? But yeah, it's going well. It's going well. You know, the good news on that is at the end of it, there'll be a course. Yay! That's the idea anyway. I'll have a look at it, Jonathan, but I'm still thinking a review. And Anthony's never paid anything. Perfect. I'm liking that idea, aren't you, Mike? I used to have an app I did use. So it was like a Plex setup, but it wasn't Plex. It was just files on a hard drive with a server running on the individual Mac. And then I had an app on an iOS. Can you remember what that app was called, Mike? Be under entertainment. Let's have a look. Stream to Me. There were two apps. There was Stream to Me and Air Video HD. And I think, to be honest, I don't watch enough for it to be worthwhile. So every time I come and I think, oh, I'll just watch that, it'll either be on the iPlayer or Prime Video. So I guess it's coming into its own when I'm accessing stuff I've ripped from DVD, which would be why I would need to have a look at it. You should make an Ocean 2020 course. Do you know, Paul, that's the plan. That's on the agenda. That is definitely on the agenda. Or view. I think you should have to pay to share your content or view shared content. Ah, right. So, yeah, I need to have a look at the Plex thing. I'd probably only be sharing with Mike. I mean, my stuff is... No one would want to watch the stuff I like. I remember going out and buying a box set of Juliet Bravo. Jonathan, that would have been... that would have been premiered 11 years before you were born. I enjoyed it. But it was a while ago. It wasn't quite the same when I watched it back. But again, it was one of those situations, like I mentioned, Rumpole of the Bailey. On one Saturday night in 1979 or 1980, my mum and dad dragged me out. I would have been about 12 or 13, and they dragged me out. We never went out on a Saturday night, but for this particular Saturday night, they dragged me out, kicking and screaming, because I wanted to watch this programme. And I didn't have a video recorder of any description. And I missed this episode. And this episode, it turned out, was one of the iconic episodes. Do you know, I did not see that episode until about 5 years ago when I bought the DVD. Never forgave them for that. Oh, the iconic TV that I watched. Watched a YouTube stream yesterday about Notion and productivity, and yours was better. Oh, thank you, Paul. Thank you. Well, we've been working hard, haven't we, Mike?
We have.
Clearing up, tidying up, and getting things out of the way. We do so many different things, and of course, Mike's been through his presidential year, so there's printouts and digital detritus, and you name it, it's kicking around. Things you wouldn't even think of, like where we've done the printing. There's the stapler, there's the shredder, there's the trimmer, the strimmer, you name it, all around the office. Well, we don't need them anymore. So we're having a complete revamp of the office. And when that's done, I shall be able to think clearly. And the next thing I'll put together is my Notion 2020. There you go. In fact, we're actually building a couple more things in Notion. And I already had a request from Kim for... Oh, what was I talking about with Kim that she wanted? My tracker. But what was it tracking? Was it the hardware tracker?
Hard drives.
Oh, the hard drive tracker. Yeah. There you go. That's what happens when I install them and then I move them all around and they're all doing backups and stuff. But at least for me, instead of accessing data, you know, if I'm going away, like we went on holiday, I just take the drive with me. So just literally pick it up, take it with me, and I'm done. I take a backup of the system with me. This is why we need a Pantechnicon when we go on holiday. But yes, all change around here. So I will do some more pickies of my desk once I've got all of the detritus off it. That is not looking bad at the minute. I can see things and there's room to put stuff down and everything, which I make a special effort on a Friday to clear it. But today it is pristine. Even cleaned it. So you can see how serious I am about this. Right. So you never told me what you're doing in the week. What are you doing in the week? Are you working, Jonathan? Working from home, obviously, but are you working? I was contemplating, I'm channeling my inner child, doing a rainbow drawing, Mike, and putting it in the window.
Good idea.
Found me crayons, so thought I'd have a go. Seriously. So Jonathan's working. Yeah. We're all working, aren't we? But I'm lucky, I love my job. So I'd be doing a lot of learning. I'm aiming for 50% learning, 50% doing. So I am hoping that you will keep me on track with my course. And then you could all admire my course when I'm done. I really do need to get on with it. But I will. Not looked at your emails. Oh, wow. I'm impressed, Jonathan. Not even a peek. Everybody else will be the same, I hope. I hope so. If you log in and you've loads of mails, you tell them they need to report to me for remedial training. Found a nice rainbow on Freepik and downloaded it. Yeah, I'm going to have to colour it because the colour printer's gone. So I will have to colour it myself, but I will be doing that. So you've got an extra day off as well, Anthony. I wish I had. But I'm going to support Mike and I'm going to work alongside him. I'm hoping not a deluge, Jonathan. You should tell them that it's very important at the moment, you know, boundaries between home and work. Yeah, boundaries, mental health, that you do not need to be bombarded with emails. This is what you need to tell them. Tell them that I said so. Although having said that, you know, I said to Mike, I'm getting emails in now at such a rate I can't keep up. Literally, I have had 400 in the last 3 days. And I'm like, who is sending me this stuff? And it's there's probably maybe like 2% spam get through, but honestly, not that much. There's more good stuff goes into the spam than spam gets into the good stuff. But it's just people trying to sell things, you know, oh, while you're at home, you could take my course. And there's me mentally ticking them off on a list of like, you know, unsubscribe, unsubscribe. This course that I'm doing actually started last Monday. So this is the end of week one at the moment. So and that one's been booked for months. So that one doesn't count. That's not people trying to ram their stuff down my throat. No. But I have had lots of those and I'm hoping to plough through them and just get rid. It makes it impossible to actually action the mails that you think, oh, I want to reply to that one. Because the rest are sat there while you think, did I want to read that? Was it something that I requested? But literally 400 in 3 days. That's silly. Might swap my email address, I'll sort it out, wouldn't I? Yeah, that definitely sort it out. Right, okay then. So Jonathan's saying, lockdown's made you appreciate downtime. Exactly. If you're not there, that's their problem. You can make yourself too indispensable, at which point it's a good time to ask for a rise. But recruiters are having lots of fun sending emails. I've had some that offer me jobs and I'm like, really? Whoa. I got a mail from Hayes a good few years ago and I'd never worked for them either. No, you said you worked for them. I'd never done any work. I had no idea why I got an email from them. And I did get one the other day that said, dear first name. And the thing that made me laugh about that was it was somebody who'd sent me an email before. But Mike's had a couple of corkers like that.
I've got one that said, dear Thomas.
Yeah, I disconnect at that point as well. Absolutely. Oh, fantastic. Well, we've got lots of projects on the boil. Now I can see the desk. Some of them might even get done. I'll say no more than that. But we're going to head off. I've not had dessert yet, and I'm expecting Mike to tempt me. A lot. But of course, we will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. I will expect a complete update on how your first day back at work went. Probably the same as every other day. No, it'll be different. Honest, it'll be different. For a start, we'll get to know from Jonathan. Are you looking forward to Friday? Oh, yes, on a path. Yes, brushes on a bath. Absolutely. But I'm looking forward to Jonathan giving me a number tomorrow, the number of emails in his inbox. This is what I need to know. And are you doing the old inbox zero routine with just command A, delete? Not interested. This is what I want to know. Should we take some bets on how many he'll get? We're guessing blind, really. 4 days over a bank holiday. Is this including, you're going with 87. Now that gives us a bit of a clue. So I don't need to go in high at 400, do I?
60.
I'm going to go in with 118. You know, make a note of this, everybody. In fact, I'll put in 118 and then it'll be in the chat. So you put your guess in, Mike, and then it'll all be in the chat and we'll be able to check it tomorrow. See who's more accurate. Ooh, Anthony's gone high at 203. Right. And Paul's gone straight in for 100. Flat 100. Excellent. Right, okay, we will check those for accuracy tomorrow, won't we, Mike? Mm. So, Jonathan, don't forget, don't start processing your emails without checking how many there are, because we need to know. But until tomorrow, it is good night from me.
It's good night from me.
We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.